You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. Now, here's your hosts, Alan Zog the Jedi and John English the Germs Guy. Hey, John, how are you today?
Doing good.
Awesome. We, for everybody knows, we normally been trying to record Fridays. Well, that hasn't been working in our favor of late. Last week we had a couple schedule conflicts, so we're getting together for a short impromptu, if you will, episode on a Monday morning. So you'll all catch this, start the week midweek, and then you'll catch another episode of our show at the end of the week. John, let's catch up on where the Jazz are at this point.
Yeah, the 11-game winning streak came to an end after All-Star break. The Jazz are 3-2 since, but when you look at it overall, they've won 14 of the last 16, and yet they're still in 10th place. Still just sitting there, 3 games over 500, still in 10th place.
Well, that's because everybody else keeps winning.
Yeah. Just looking at the schedule, we really need some team to get that 29th loss. You have 3 through 9 are all between 26 and 28 losses. And when you look at it, you can kind of see the cream rising. And so I think the best shot the Jazz have is just go ahead and let Portland's in third and New Orleans is in fourth right now. 6-game winning streak. New Orleans is on an 8-game winning streak. So it's Jazz are really looking at 5 through 9. They need 2 of those to fall. Hopefully more, because I hate to get the 8th seed. I'm still hoping that they can get the 6th seed. But they're going to definitely need some help to get there. Now, Jazz are favored this week. They play Orlando tonight, and they play Indiana later in the week. And while Indiana is projected for the Pacers to win, it's barely. I still think the Jazz could win that. They've been playing better as of late. So the Jazz have to take care of business first before they can worry about other teams. But tonight you have Portland against the Lakers, and normally I would just say that's going to be a Portland sweep, but the Lakers have won 5 in a row. Since Lonzo Ball's come back healthy, he has looked really good, and suddenly the Lakers are on a 5-game win streak. Now, they're too far behind to catch anybody, but they could do some real damage where teams might have been expecting some penciled-in wins. It could actually be tough. Which makes me a little nervous, because the Jazz play the Lakers 2 more times. So hopefully they cool off by the time we get there. We don't play them for another month. But
it's interesting to me looking ahead in the standings. I mean, Portland, they're number 3. That surprises me. I did not expect them to be 3rd. And the Jazz have actually played Portland really well this year. So, and New Orleans, another surprise to me. The Spurs just continue to drop, which, you know, for a while there, I thought that was going to be a surprise, but no Kawhi Leonard. They're struggling. Maybe their free fall continues. I don't know.
I mean, there's talks now that they might get Kawhi back in a couple weeks, but I'll say this right now. If Kawhi sits out the rest of the year, the Spurs are going to miss the playoffs. They are one of the coldest teams in the NBA right now. You take away all the teams that are tanking on purpose, you know, the 7 or 8 teams that are doing that, and then you got to look at the Spurs. They're like the next coldest. In fact, I would say the 2 coldest teams that are trying to be in the playoffs, it would be Spurs in the West and it would be Pistons in the East.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I think the Jazz will go 2-0 in the next 2 games. I know you said you feel pretty good about Indiana. I think they could go 2-0 this week, and suddenly we're back on a 4-game win streak, and the Jazz are starting to find a groove again. Do you agree?
They're a young enough team where confidence is a real factor in how they play. I think the Minnesota win, despite all the shenanigans that happened during that game, was really helpful for their confidence. And it was kind of a rough game the other night that they still won, where they kind of went, all right, we can't let up on anyone, against the Kings I'm referring to. So, you know, they need to take care of business tonight, and then they go on a 3-game road trip. The first is Indiana, And that's one where they're not favored, but I think they really have to go ahead and get anyway. Then after that, they can, you know, start looking at other teams and hope that they fall. Like, for example, tomorrow, the Pelicans and the Clippers play. So if the Pelicans beat the Clippers, that's finally a team to get its 29th loss, and then the Jazz can start thinking about climbing further. The nice thing about as the season winds down is a lot of these teams that are ahead of the Jazz have to play each other.
Right.
Some still have two games against each other. And some of those teams are going to help. You know, any more games that the Warriors or Rockets have against the 3-9 seed right now, that's going to really help.
Yes, it will. I agree.
You know, Spurs, I mean, they play the Warriors this week. Who else do they play? I'm just kind of scrolling through their schedule. They play the Thunder on Saturday. That the free fall could continue. Give it 2 weeks and the Spurs could find themselves with, you know, 30, 31 losses, and it won't take that long. So if they want to make the playoffs, they have to right the ship quick, but I don't see that happening with Kawhi out.
No, I agree. I totally agree. All right. We don't have any listener questions to address, I don't believe. I'm trying to think if there's any. No, let's go ahead and move ahead to pop culture. John, I know you want to get to Oscars, so let's get to that in a second. But let's go ahead and talk. You saw Black Panther finally, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
I did see Black Panther. I really enjoyed Black Panther. I agree with what you were talking about last time on how beautiful it is. The set design and the visual effects and just the whole concept of the world was really good. I liked a lot of the cast. I liked a lot of the imagery. It's one where, you know, I don't think it's my favorite Marvel movie, but it's up there. And as I was thinking about it, Marvel's been doing a really good job lately. Even the ones that I didn't think were that great, that are just kind of okay, I still overall liked Iron Man 2 and 3. But the ones that have come out lately, the quality has been there. The Marvel's just doing this amazing job of maintaining that quality.
What did you think of the story of the overall story of the film and the way that it addressed the social issues that I think are very prevalent now? It does pick up where Civil War left off a little bit. I think it was Civil War, if I'm remembering correctly. How do you feel about the way it addressed it?
One of the main strengths of Black Panther is it is a conflict of two big ideas where they both have a really good point. You know, I understand why Wakanda kept themselves safe. I understand why Killmonger is furious at them for it. And if Killmonger just had, it wouldn't take that much for Killmonger to have noble intentions. But because he's out for revenge, that kind of colors everything else. But it was really fascinating to think about it. It raised a lot of interesting ideas, stuff that you could debate and ponder on. And you usually don't get that. You usually just get villain just wants to destroy the world. Well, Killmonger wants to destroy parts of the world. I mean, he just wants this social justice revenge on the world, and he wants to tear down Wakanda's ruling class. That's a pretty compelling motivation. I think when you give the villain motivation that you can understand, you may not agree with, but at least you can understand where they're coming from. That makes for stronger conflict. And so I thought the movie overall was strengthened by that.
I agree. Did you stick around afterwards and catch the credit scene where they kind of picked up with Black Panther and what he was doing for the community and then offering, I guess it was for the world. I really liked the way they handled that.
Yeah, I liked how, I mean, everything that's happened in this universe makes sense for Black Panther to want to start doing his own thing, because, you know, Tony Stark's getting all the headlines, doing all this good all over the world with his money. Why not have Black Panther do the same thing?
I agree. I also think it's wonderful because it fits right in with the story arc where his father was a part of the UN. His father is no longer around. He's there. He now represents, and he takes a very active, proactive role, I should say, in society. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's really good. So, all right. So you get John's thumbs up on Black Panther now. Let's discuss Oscars. I know you want to get into this a little bit. Let's jump in.
Okay. I enjoyed the show last night. Me and my wife watched it together. And not a lot of surprises. In fact, I put out my predictions right before, and I think I was wrong on two of them. Three, maybe. One, two, three. No, four. Some of those live-action short ones screw me up. Yeah, so... Shape of Water won Best Picture and Best Director. Personally, I liked Shape of Water, but it didn't make my top 10 or 15, maybe 20, but I'd have to look at everything else. But it's fine. I think it's going to be one of those movies like American Beauty or Crash, where after a few years, it just kind of fades, and you know, people are just like, oh, well, whatever. But it's good. I just didn't think it was the best. I didn't think it was, I mean, of the nine that were nominated, I probably would have picked it about sixth, maybe seventh.
What was your pick for the best film?
Of the ones that were nominated, I would have gone with Dunkirk.
Okay.
Also, been happy for Get Out or Three Billboards or Call Me By Your Name. But, you know, Shape of Water is good. Just I thought there were better choices of what was nominated. And, you know, a lot of movies that were in my top 10 were nominated for Best Picture either. So, okay. I do like that Guillermo del Toro won Best Director, because he's such a visionary director. I mean, Shape of Water is not his best movie, but I just like the fact that he is now. I loved that Gary Oldman won for Darkest Hour. Loved the acting wins that Three Billboards got. Very well-acted movie. I love that Get Out won Best Screenplay. Okay. Cool to see Jordan Peele win. You know, Coco won Best Animated Film. Icarus won Best Documentary. I plugged that last time, but, you know, go ahead and see it. It's on Netflix. It's really fascinating. And so, yeah.
I like
and
that.
I also
I like
that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like that Coco also won for the music category.
I never did see Coco, so I don't know. Just watching the live performance, I thought This Is Me was going to win. But okay, right, now right. Now when I watch it, I'll understand why that one prevailed because of its context in the movie.
Well, and I don't think they could have gone wrong.
You don't think they could have gone wrong?
I don't think they could have gone wrong with either. I liked them both. I liked Greatest Showman and I liked Coco. I don't think they could have gone wrong either way.
No, and, you know, I mean, while they're showing the nomination, some categories you're like, man, that's a really strong category. And song was one of them, because that song from Mudbound is really good, too. So there were plenty of different ways it could have gone. You know, like, well, they're playing clips of, like, Best Supporting Actor. They show all of them. It's like, man, awesome. So there were a lot of categories like that. I liked how... they brought Jimmy Kimmel back, and he had a lot of references to last year's debacle with Best Picture. I like that they had Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway come out to present Best Picture again, so they had the chance to read the right name the first time. Thought that was great. I liked the gag about Jimmy Kimmel saying, "Hey, whoever gives the shortest speech, you want to guess a jet ski." They had Helen Mirren model it like she's on The Price of Right. I enjoyed that.
So I
thought the show was pretty good.
I didn't watch all of it. I did catch the last final five or six awards, but what I kind of, you know, you talk about shortest acceptance speeches, and I know that they always start to run the music and try and shut people down, and I'm trying to think of who it was. I think it was for Coco when they got ready to start the music, and you could hear him start it, and then he says something about his mom's passing, and immediately they shut it down. I was like, ha, ha. And then they were kind of lenient on everybody else from there on. I mean, the last few people were up there for quite a while, and they just kind of let them say what they needed to say. And I was like, dang it, that was funny. That was awesome.
Yeah, I haven't looked to see how long the runtime was. I didn't have a problem with the runtime. We actually started a little late, so I was able to fast forward some commercial breaks and stuff, and you know, pausing for bedtime and then going back and catching up. So I thought the pace was just fine. I was once again annoyed how many people I'd heard of they left out of In Memoriam while they put in all these people that nobody's heard of. They do that every year though, so I guess it's an annual gripe.
Right.
But come on, they didn't put in John Mahoney. They didn't put in the dad from Say Anything. They didn't put in Glenn Campbell from True Grit. They didn't put in Adam West. They didn't put in Della Reese. They didn't put in Tobe Hooper, who directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, there were some big names they left out. But they were able to put in, like, agents and PR people, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'll give props to Eddie Vedder. I thought his rendition of that Tom Petty song was really good too.
Yeah.
So overall, Oscars about what you expected, other than Best Picture. So.
No, I knew it was going to win. It just wasn't my favorite.
Right. Right. Well, all right. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this was going to be a shortened one. Did we have anything else we want to discuss, or we want to go ahead and wrap it up and stay tuned for later this week?
Yeah, let's go ahead and stop here. This is just kind of a taste. We'll have Devin back at the end of the week to do our full show, and you know, let's root for those teams to beat the people in front of the Jets.
All right, sounds good. All right, folks, thanks for joining us on an early Monday edition of Jedi and Germs. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you hang out with us later this week when we come back for our one of our shows again for episode later this week with Devin. We thank you all for joining us. You know where to find us, Jedi and Germs, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Get at us. We love your feedback. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.